Hey, what's good, everyone? It is Samir. Welcome to Beat Fano Podcast. So awesome to have you back. We're super excited to share more testimony. And this week, we've got another episode. So stay tuned here on Beat Fano Podcast.
Awesome. Well, welcome, everyone, to Beat Fano Podcast. And this week, we're with the Bro Spooner. What's good, my bro?
Yes, up, brother. How you been?
So good, my bro. And how you been, my man?
Yeah, all good, bro. You know, keep on keeping on.
Man, it's actually so good. I don't even remember when I last did the last Beat Fano Podcast. Like, legitimately, couldn't give you a date, couldn't give you a time, couldn't even give you a place, bro. It was a while back, but yeah, it's good to be back. I mean, the school's been on. The main focus for Beat Fano, but now we're back onto a podcast, so it's such an honor to be back on with yourself, bro. It's the best way to get back into it, my bro. Yeah.
Well, man,
let's just start by saying, how's everything going with you, my man?
Oh, bro, flat out with the privates, bro. Private events. Just got back today from Napier. Like, 7 o'clock tonight, got back from Napier. Yeah, it's just full on, bro. Every weekend there's something, eh? It's
so amazing to hear the, like, you know, you're doing those events, private gigs, and I will no doubt kind of dive into like how it kind of leads into that for peeps, like, you know, yourselves. You know, it's amazing how before you know it, you know, you can find yourself doing that sort of mahi, but yeah, bro, to kick things off, my bro, for those that don't know, into DJing and production, you know, and all that, but let's just dive straight back to earliest memories for you with music, my bro. How did you first discover
Roslyn school? Roslyn school and Palmy, bro.
Wow. No,
back in the school days, music teacher, music class, all that stuff. Kids choir, moved into like high school, bro. I used to carry around my Logitech speaker everywhere, my headphones, just be the kid in school that no one liked with the loud music going, bro. Pretty much.
That's cool, man. I'm guessing it carried on. So that's, Roslyn Primary School, is it, or Roslyn Intermediate?
Yeah, Roslyn Primary in Palmy. Nice.
And then where did you go to Intermediate, my man?
I went to Whiru, so up in South Auckland, Waiuku.
Nice.
Yeah, and then went to Waiuku College after that. Yeah, moved to Palmy.
Was there a bit of music up in that Waiuku
College? Yeah. I sort of stood away from music a little bit. I'll just be there. Yeah. Be the little hood rat with my speaker going out loud, bro. Yeah.
As a kid, what was the music? Was it just whatever you got your hands on? Was it the pop stuff?
There was the shuffling, man. The language, the shuffles, you know? Yeah, it's pretty. Then it moved on to jerking, then it moved on to everything else. And I was a fat little kid, so I couldn't do it, bro.
Wow. Oh, bro, I could just start to see, like, you know, those dance anthems of the times we were in school, man. Like, there were some good dance anthems. I can definitely, I'm sure a lot of people listening can take themselves back to those days, like, fully immersed in whatever a kid would be listening to back then, you know.
The scuff haircut and all. Everything, man.
Exactly, my man. Oh, that's so cool to hear that. And so you for high school, did you go back to Palmy, or what was your high school?
Yeah, so after high school, basically bought a house down here because it was just way cheaper, bro. Yep. Far cheaper than Auckland.
Yep. Yeah.
Moved down, sort of went through a bit of relationship issues, had my kids, all that stuff, and you know, found myself after the breakup, bro, pretty much started jumping back into music.
Yeah.
Lose some weight.
Bro, that's actually the power of music, hey? Is it kind of like, it's one of those things that, you know, is like you can always take a break of it. It will always meet you back, you know, like music is that thing. And it's so cool to hear music coming into your life, because by the time you got back into it, right, was when, you know, well after, you know, festivals had been emerging. But were you like to following that during the high school days, like the Tomorrowland stuff? Were you?
Nah, bro, not at all. Not at all. I was just, you know, listening to rap tunes and whatever I got my hands on, sun goes down, need your mister kind of stuff, you know.
Bro, and I'm about to say, those were the days, the Bluetooth infrared days, my bro. So I don't doubt there was plenty of that going on at the school, but that's cool, bro, to hear that when you got back in, it was kind of like not playing it, but actually starting to get into it now, right?
Yeah. Well, it was about 2018 when me and my ex-partner broke up, and sort of I started, you know, was going out to town, hitting town as you would, single male, smashing it out.
Yeah, bro.
and then started getting back into music and starting my journey probably from there, which, about 2018, bro. Started jamming at the office, you know.
Because it wouldn't have been too long since you started going to the bars and clubs and then figuring out, man, I actually want to try this DJing thing a go, and then trying to figure out where to get started. So you actually had gotten that first initial, like, that you sort of got the bug from actually going to town and then being like, man, what a feeling I get, I guess, being there, and then to know that, you know, you have the power to create that feeling, right?
And sort of control. Not control, but influence everyone else's behavior, I guess.
That's exactly what I thought with the DJing, because I was like, wow, I'm at a Christian camp and they're playing like Deadmau5 techno music, and then I'm out here thinking, what a feeling, man. Like, I didn't feel like I was a Christian camp, I'll tell you that much for free, but I was like completely mesmerized by the music, and it made me give this feeling like, man, this is the happiest days of my life. And no doubt it was the same for you when you were at those different places.
When I was at Roslyn and stuff, my brother had his workplace injury, so he got all these nice gears, this laptop and all this kind of stuff, and he had FL, I think it was 8 or something, I can't even remember, bro, but I was like a 10-year-old playing around with it, and I think he had Cool Record Edit or some app like that.
Yeah, Cool Edit Pro, bro.
And I was jamming that, bro, writing little rap tunes and stuff, and then, I don't know, 2018, bro, I sort of started getting back into it, started messing around with FL again, and, you know, jamming some edits and messing around, but, it's part of
the community, bro. That's amazing to hear that there was actually like moments of music software that you were around growing up as well. Like, well, that's so cool, bro. The amount of times people bring up Cool Edit Pro is like, wow, that must have been a heroic software.
For like, me, I was like, I was like 10. I think I saw, it was more of like a thing where, you know, Soulja Boy made Crank That on FL. Yes. So I thought I could do the same.
That's it, bro. And, that was a golden era for FL Studio, but man, it's moving right along with that, bro. So you got into DJing, and did you sort of figure out that you needed to get hold of people to try and ask them, how do you know you get into this? What should I get? Or were you on the internet, or was it a bit of both? What was the first steps for you, my bro?
It was more of got thrown under the bus by a mate at the office. I bought my own decks, and then I ran into you in the plaza, I think it was, actually.
No, that's so interesting. I didn't realize that probably that time I bumped in, that was actually the first decks you would have got yourself, right?
Yeah, it was, bro. A little SP3s using Serato.
Oh, man. All I saw was someone in Palm Beach with decks in their hand, and it's just on the box. I'm like, man, if I don't know this guy, I gotta get to know, because I was just in love with everything to do with seeing a DJ box or a controller, like, you name it, I'm like, oh, who's that guy?
I was like, that was a few years ago now, eh?
That's right, and that's how you caught my eye on the plaza that day. And so that's really cool to hear that was actually your very first, control that you had got out and found out where to get it from, and those first sort of memories. And so that's really cool to hear. You sort of had that ability to find someone who could help you and chuck you on the deep end is another way to get into it, my bro. That's actually quite a great story of how people can play a huge part in our lives. And hearing it that way, it's like, wow, that's cool, bro. What was it like? Because you got that one from the rock shop as well, so like
no deals, nothing freshy,
I'm pretty sure I remember still seeing the rock shop tag on it or something, because I was like, oh, must have got it from the rock shop. But you kind of knew what you bought, but you were still kind of like, so
I had no idea, bro, to be honest.
You went up to the shop like, hey, I'm gonna get in the DJ.
Me and my new partner, we just sort of we rebought my house, so I had like 20k spare to spend, bro. So I went in there, bought the cheapest, best thing that I could possibly think of. I don't know.
Exactly. That's so cool. That's cool, bro. But man, that's a testimony on its own, bro. And so man, that takes us to the next steps. You've got your decks. You got a finger on the pulse of the music. Yeah, you got your decks, man. And so what was the first software for you, Marvo?
So when I got thrown in the deep end of the office, I got stuck on using Rekordbox. So I'd got my SP3s and straight away YouTubed how to re-edit them and all this stuff. So I remapped it to Rekordbox, bro, and I was away.
Yeah.
Oh,
beautiful, bro. That's the one. Rekordbox. Did you ever give any of the other ones a try, or like
I tried Serato and stuff, but I never really, all my mates use it, everyone uses it, bro. But I can use it.
Yeah, exactly. you just naturally came onto Rekordbox from having it there, and when you saw it being used, so that's the one, bro. That's the one. That's a testimony, because Rekordbox is obviously, has the ability for you to not only jam, your controller, but you quickly learn that you can prep your USBs for the CDJs and all the and those sort of things. Speaking on that note, was that something you sort of saw I want really need to try out CDJs, or did you just sort of feel like, oh yeah, like I can do this all on the controller? Was it something you had to learn about?
So the next thing I imported it from Amazon, was a 4-channel, it was the FLX6 USB plug-in one. So I quickly jumped to 4 channels because I felt like I needed to. Because I was, jamming heaps of drum and bass, still kind of do. Sort of had to jump to 4 channels to be that guy.
Oh, for sure.
I guess. And then, sort of slowly adapted to, sort of using USBs and jumping on the CDJs.
Nice.
It's a bit of a process. It was a big jump, I felt. But
you get used to it. Having the ability to try it out is great, because a lot of
I was sort of taking advantage of what I had to offer, the people that I'd met along the way, and that's it. Exactly.
Wow. That's it, bro. Oh, so good. And getting into DJing and the DJ music, was there music you were hearing in town that inspired you, or was there also like things you were starting to find out for yourself listening or online? What was your sort of earliest memories?
When I first started, bro, I actually hated drum and bass, I was fully against it. I used to, office being, it was a semi like a bass bar,
dubstep,
all that sort of stuff. I kind of wanted to be like a hip hop DJ when I started hip hop R&B DJ. I'm like, I sort of got into the intros, started learning the intros and all this kind of stuff, and really them forward. But now it's the tables have turned a little.
Wow, that's cool, bro. So they hear your original kind of like hip hop roots in a way, and then they hear the power of the music. Really.
It was more like a hip hop R&B sort of reggae phase, bro. Because I used to listen to heaps of reggae back in my day too. Like back,
yeah.
We used to have to drop my brother off to his dad's, who lived in Palmy, from Auckland every second weekend. So my old lady would, you know, chuck on Catch Fire, bro, was the go-to in the car, straight up. And being able to open for them, bro, meant heaps for me, eh?
Yeah. Like being on support. Full circle. It's our full circle moment. All those days.
Like meeting people car. Like Jordan, taking them around town, bro, that was pretty on.
Yeah. There's nothing more childhood nostalgia than, like, you know, the old car playlists and what was on the CDs or the, you know, the aux or whatever, bro. So that sounds like a great full circle moment, my bro. Kind of moving along. I guess, was there any big artists, you know, in the time that you started getting into all electronic stuff? Was there any people that you just kind of found you really liked their music? Any inspirational artists for you there, my bro?
No, it would be Catch Fire. Not really electronic, bro. It would definitely just be, you know, Catch Fire going back to the
roots. Yeah. And I guess with the electronic, it's just, you know, it's kind of like...
Oh, Sub Focus, bro. Stuff, you know, it's... It's not really versatile.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, you know.
I know what you mean. It's kind of like there's always just the sort of ones that everyone would call out, like Avicii, Skrillex, David Guetta. You know, that's kind of like anyone's got those names, but it's kind of like sometimes they're not as inspirational when everyone's inspired by it. And it's the ones that you sort of know actually stand out for you, right? So that's really cool,
for sure. For me, it's mostly the things along the car drive, bro. You know, when you're a kid with the parents, the Catchafires, all your guys, all that kind of stuff, bro. Wow. Sun's his eye on every now and then, but you know, that was as I got older, so that's all right.
Epic, bro. That's so cool. I love being getting into my reggae lately, bro. It's been just all this music I had no idea about in terms of all the styles of it too. And it's you know, you've got that hip-hop inspired reggae, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, like you know, nice heavy you know, like strong drums, but then very kind of like, you know, acoustic mix between both the best of both worlds. So I'm really into that stuff now myself. But back into the journey, my bro. You've obviously been into DJing for people who have been listening in. What's sort of the earliest highlights? Obviously apart from opening Catch a Fire, was there sort of like those sort of early milestones, like your first big, you know,
My first big milestone was the Parliament protest, bro. I'm not gonna lie,
That would be a milestone, bro.
To me, that was pretty huge. I know people would be like, "Oh, what the, what, you know?" But it was pretty huge, bro. There was heaps of people there. I got heaps of comments back, bro, saying that like you've done real well, all this kind of stuff. I was over, bro. To my kids. Stuff that I can, you know, I've played on Parliament grounds, bro. It's sort of like I'm fully vaccinated and all, bro. Like, believe me, I took advantage of the opportunity.
Exactly. Well, that's actually the big thing I look back on in my life, as well as many people, is sometimes an opportunity presents itself and you just know you can't resist it because it's the opportunity that feels right in your heart and your gut. And you just get that gut feeling and you're like, this opportunity has my name on it because it's meant to be.
On the day, picked up some of the boys, my missus wasn't happy. She's like, "What are you going to Wellington for? It's a 2.5-hour drive." So, you know, picked up some of the boys, went down there, sort of jumped on and best yet, bro. And like, I feel like, because the next day they had some sort of, I think it was Sweden Irie was meant to play and so was DJ Raw and stuff.
Yeah. But
I think some sort of issue where it was sort of turning into a party.
That's right, because Sweet and I played, but I'm not even sure DJ Wall played in the, or did he? Maybe.
I met him a few weeks back, at Frank Bar, the Whanganui. Yeah. Having a good talk about it, bro. And I think the issue is that the people at the protest were sort of getting a bit rowdy about how it was turning into like a party zone and not so much a protest anymore, I guess.
That's right. And you've got kids around, so you're thinking, how do you find a balance?
It's all
for a great thing, and it's all great people, great energy, and then you're just like, you know, obviously, you know, some kids, you know, people are staying there, you know, you don't want the kids to be called out, you know, from music that's late at night. And but I guess
that for me was a bit of a highlight, and my cousin who sort of opened the window for me, so I did take advantage of the situation when I was there, because she was at the protest, so I took advantage of the situation and went down there, had a damn sort of few, I don't know, 600 to 1,000 people, bro, in the tent.
Yes, exactly. That's the one, bro.
Yeah.
Find your crowd out of thin air, bro, and it's a beautiful feeling, because it's like...
It's good.
It's one of those gold moments where you're just like, hey, you know, all the things come aligned. And I remember my first big breaks of finding a crowd, and it's, sometimes you know that you'll be able to look back on those memories for years and years and cherish
them. Oh, like my kids, you know, it's like anyone in their generation is going to have the sort of opportunity to play on Parliament Grounds, bro. I know it doesn't sound great, and people are like, you know, people around the corner, and they're like, what the hell are you talking about? But it's there, bro. It happened. That's what it is.
I was about to say. Yeah, so cool, bro. Man. Now that's an amazing milestone. But what's cool is definitely a few more gigs that have happened since, and you've also been a big part of the culture, I guess, even back before then and more so after. Yeah, well, sort of like some next moments for you. Did you I guess you would have gained a lot of confidence as well after that gig, because that would have been your first big crowd, especially coming in.
I think it boosted the ego a little bit. It's
in a good way.
Enough, bro.
I was about to say that it would have been the positive ego, you know. There's always the positive ego, and that without that positive ego, none of us would have got out of bed in the morning. I mean, we're talking about the thing that keeps you you going and on the journey. So I see it probably more for the positive ego firstly, bro. You were able to take some, you know, some energy and confidence and just to know that you've had that experience, because I guess it translates a lot more into like getting into the club and bar work and all that. Knowing if you could play in front of a crowd, you're pretty much already, you know, for the crowds that are at the bars and clubs. So,
It's a big head, bro.
No, bro. Oh, man. I mean, I'd name a DJ that doesn't have a big head. You got to have one that's big enough to get out, you know, and put yourself on a booth where everyone's got to say, oh, I want this song, I want that song. So to be able to stand tall and say, hey, you know, everyone can be, everyone can be the past the Hawks DJ in the backseat. But, you know, to be able to have that artistic approach, you know, at a beat match, or just even just to try and play your hand at the selection and the order of songs and how that all makes a huge impact. So, you learn these things on the job. What are some of the other bars and clubs? Any like other cool little milestones?
You know, pretty much all of Palmy's bars I've jammed at, nothing the greatest.
No, that's still cool, man.
Yeah, you know, there's Frank Bar Whanganui, goes off crazy, bro. Literally, over the last few months has been going off. Like, we've had Purpose, we've had Benny Boy's crew, all that kind of, it's been insane. And that's all for the Road to 3 Days Deep, which is the festival that they hold. I went last year and that was just insane, bro. The lineup, huge.
Oh man, that's the one, bro. Wow.
That's due again this year in late January. so that should be another goodie, definitely.
And just, I guess, for people tuning in that aren't aware, you could probably share the story on how that name 3 Days Deep has come about. So, have you got a story? You know the story? Or shall I see? I can share it. I'll share the first half. So, I found out one day someone had asked me for the song, and I think I was still in Palmy. I'm not sure if it was in the middle of a DJ set or if I had come across it on Facebook. On the Rock.
Yeah. Shout out to Isaac and David. Shout out to Mung Beans.
And what I didn't realize was, like, you know, that I think Mikey J White or someone had actually told me about this song, and they just said, "Have you not heard On the Rock?" And then and I saw the video probably on Facebook just as I was scrolling many years ago. But that's a bit of New Zealand music history, bro. I'm just googling that now, because that actually came out a little while back now, bro. Like, it's not like an old, it's not a new song. See, 2016, bro.
That's what I mean,
it was almost ahead of its time, bro.
Yeah. Thank you, bro. And I remember I was sort of fanboying at the start. I went up to Hamilton to watch some of their shows, bro, and then next thing you know, I've met them in Wongas. Oh, you know, I'm from Martin, so yeah, not far out of Wongas. I feel like I've nothing in the music scene, bro. I don't know.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, Wongas is definitely a good time, bro. It needs to, it's like a hidden gem of New Zealand, 100%.
Yeah.
And it's just, yeah, the setup there is amazing. The people are just amazing. Like, it's crazy. Yeah.
So crazy. Cool, bro. Well, I can certainly testify to that. For the very few times I've been there, very cool. And man, you know, it just goes to show, like, because that's just one of many small towns in New Zealand. And not to say small towns are anything bad, because there's so many little pockets of gold across the North and South Island, you know. And if you ever, the people tuning in, if you ever get a chance to travel this great country, you'll find these, like, things that you're like, how on earth did I not know about this little place in the middle of nowhere where everyone comes and like, oh, you know, it's like, it almost can teach us something about, you know, ourselves out here in these bigger cities, like, than the rule at home. But these guys actually show up, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know? For sure, bro, for sure. I mean, it's just the even the setup there, bro, like, the way that Dez has it is crazy, bro. The truss, the lighting, all that, like, it's mind-blowing, bro. And he does it, it's an awesome job there, for sure.
That's it, yeah. And especially, it's like that, not just the goodness of the heart, but it's kind of like, it's a sure thing, you know. It's a done deal that, you know, something gets put on, and it serves a purpose that's a lot bigger than just you know, DJs and audience. It's culturey. It's things to look back on. It's things that have happened. But yeah, man, that's beautiful. Like, carrying on with that, from all the experiences you've had in bars and clubs, moving into, like, I guess what naturally was a bit, you just gain, I guess, an ear as well for music, and you hear music in a new way.
So with the bars and the clubs, it sort of went on to private functions, weddings, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I do some work for DJ For You and all that, and, you know, it's pretty crazy, bro. It gets crazy busy. But yeah, basically just, you know, functions, weddings, corporate functions, birthdays, everything.
Yep.
Just, yeah, bro. My weekends always full, bro. My missus hates it, but it is what it is.
And that's it, bro. Because when people don't always remember about the scale, like, so, you know, is what, how many people in New Zealand, you know, 3-4 million, whatever it is, and then you realize how many people have a birthday, have a wedding, have a, you know, a whatever, you know, a leaving party. It could be anything. And so, you know, we all have that time where we're like, okay, you know, we want to do something special. And so with that comes the need for DJs. And so there's just that idea, man. And it's like, it's happening and you're part of it, which is so cool. But yeah, kind of back, yeah, with the how you hear music in a almost like a new way. And yep. You know, it sort of gives you those ideas about mixing songs. Even when you're not DJing, you start, oh, that song could go with that song, especially when you play quite regularly, right? So did you sort of see the idea of that sort of into how you make your first edits? Because I remember seeing your edit thing, I was like, wow, these actually, but I actually thought they were dope, bro. Like, I genuinely, like, heard it, and I was like, bro, the energy, you can hear the inspiration where it's come from, you know? It's like undeniable. Man, it's like, you know, some cool edits.
It's a bit messy, bro. It's just like a bit of things that I've done over time and just sort of adding them all together kind of thing. Nothing too over the top, you know? But yeah. Just takes time. Cool.
It does. Because what did you make those edits in? So it's your
FL,
first
bro. Yeah, just FL. Nice. I've always done FL. Nice.
Yeah,
ever since I was a 10-year-old.
yeah, and it's cool because then by the time you're into music, you know sort of a little bit about how to find the music online, which leads to how to find acapellas online. So it's kind of like one thing really leads to another in that way, eh?
Yeah, we'll still have a master, but I still need advice from you, bro. You know?
Oh, bro, don't worry. The fact that once you hear the energy, it's like everything else just comes in time. And you know, obviously, like you said, you know, little tips and tricks, they all come in handy. But the main thing is once you got the ball rolling, and it's cool to see the ball as well. It's really rolling, my man. So it's epic,
not,
bro.
But not really. Slowly.
hey, slowly rolling, it's not in the, it's not in the same spot that it was in. Yeah, it's cool.
You know, when you saw me walking through the plaza.
That's quicker, bro. You know, I think the ball starts the moment you do something, like you get your first decks, you know, or you just find an ability to take their first step. So, bro, it's cool to hear the journey, you know, it's cool to hear those things along the way, the milestones, but also those little moments that peeps listening will definitely be able to relate to.
And it's like, you know, my son, he also gets a bit of, like, you know, I influence him a little bit, bro. I see him dancing all the time. When I jam at home or do something at home, make music or whatever, I see it, he's always like dancing, always doing something. Like, he's my number one supporter.
Yeah, sure. Man.
Pretty cool.
Oh, nothing better than having a bit of accountability. Like, what are you up to this week, my man? It's like, you just know he's always ready to see what you got and what you got played. So, no, it's so cool, my bro. And, yeah, out of all the experiences, yeah, has there been sort of people you've met a few cool people, any other people you've been like able to meet that you've really been like, wow, you know, people and places is pretty much this part of the podcast. We just talk about different places, you know. Have there been other towns you've been to, other people you got to meet?
The people in the like the drum and bass community, bro, and all that kind of stuff is just it's insane. The amount of you know,
so many people
that you meet, sort of like, well, I did a gig in Hamilton a few weeks back, never met these people before. I've met a few, but you know, that was for the data set people. I'm on this data set chat, but so did a gig in Hamilton. I met Connor, who I think runs Starwell, you know, as part of running data set, in Whanganui at the Purapos gig, and he said, hey, well, do you want to do a gig in Wonga's? Hamilton. Sweet, I'll have a look into it. Sort of went up there, went for a bit of a bender, went to the casino, and
you know,
did all the stuff.
All the usual, Hamilton. Man, went in Hamilton, bro. You got to make sure you make that trip count, bro. That sounds cool.
I didn't come back with an STD, bro. We're all good.
Man, you said it for me, bro. I'm a school dude. I know where I can cut that. But the thing I love the best about, you see, New Zealanders, there's like a, there's sort of like a hidden positivity even amongst the sort of, the sort of like I don't know, the sort of cultural jokes, you know, there's a lot of positivity in it, right? And so it's really cool to touch on it all, because some things are just like set in stone, like some of those like slang words we have here in New Zealand and all of that. It becomes so undeniable. You sort of just got to embrace it, you know, whether you like it or not.
I think with me, I'm very, I don't really like to talk about myself, but I'm very loud.
Yeah.
Very loud, no filter, bro. Even like on chats or anything. I just tend to take the piss. I mean, I probably shouldn't sometimes. I know I've pissed you off a few times, bro.
Probably not as much as you would have thought, though. Not nearly as much as others, bro. Trust me. People listening were like, oh, Samir's talking about... No, I'm not even talking about you guys. There's levels to it. But honestly, bro, I would say you're right at the bottom, bro. Like, just in terms of the people you meet along the way, you've just said it yourself, bro. It's like one of the biggest blessings in the journeys of getting into music, because you just, the more you get into the music, it's like people just come out of nowhere and you just start meeting new people. It's always
someone that knows someone that knows someone who knows someone, you know. It's like a circle, bro, and it's crazy. The music seems crazy, and I never expected it to be like that.
It's so much bigger than, like, even the people that think, oh yeah, I know it's big, and then they come in and they're like, when they realize how big it, and then it's like, just goes to show it's so big that none of us get prepared for it. But that's probably another big gem or theme of Beat Finder, is to know, if you feel intimidated by how many people there are in this community, don't worry, you're not the first one to think like that. we all know it. And it's kind of cool now to look back and see throughout our little coin and all we've just had, you know, you can hear those little connecting points others might relate to, or just be inspired to know that, you know, it's all happening. New Zealand music is not just the production, but also the sound selectors, the DJs, the peeps, who have an idea of what songs can go together and sound really cool live. So
it's a massive community, bro. And even if you don't know someone, you like people that have passed away, you see something that has the sort of a connection to that person, and you see how they're affected. You know, you can just sit back and see it. It's not, you know, it's a big scene. Yeah. Very big scene.
It is. Very big. Exactly, bro. Well, that kind of leads me on to the next thing of, obviously, no doubt, as with all great DJs, as you get more into it and you realize as a DJ, when you mix and blend those different tracks, you're sort of blending sounds. And once you're blending sounds, it's almost pretty much what a producer would do. Like, is the production something you're looking at getting into one day, or like more and more, like from where you're at with the edits? Because edits is kind of like half the thing done in FL. I mean, you're like actually half using...
Half-assed all day.
Exactly. Is there any styles of production you would like, or tracks you would like out of all these different styles, reggae, hip-hop?
So in production, I sort of, I'll start something and I'll get bored. I don't know what it is, bro. It's the repetitiveness of, you know.
Exactly, bro.
I don't know how you do it, to be honest.
I will tell you, I do have a plan to start a little community where we turn the impossible into the possible, Momo. So quick plug, I never plug, but that's more of a shameless one at this point. It took many years.
The repetitiveness of production, sort of, I'll make something, then I'll get bored of it and start something else or do something else. And, you know, I've got heaps of FLPs sitting there, bro, of stuff that I've made, but I've never finished, kind of thing. Yeah. I tend to get bored and move on to something else.
Yeah. Exactly.
It takes a lot of patience for sure.
Yeah, it does. And the good news is you're not alone. I'm still like that these days, and it's just you just yeah, you, if it's kind of like going out fishing, you know, sometimes you just got to keep going out that boat, getting nothing for so many years to learn. That's kind of like the music production, when how do you get that strike between what's in your head, getting it out there and not getting bored in the process, because it's a damn hard one when you get stuck on something, let alone if you're even on track and then you just notice it's taking a while. But yeah, it's just sort of like, if you did, you know, let's say turn that if into a win, amen. When the production stuff kind of starts, you know, aligning and things, one thing leads to another, as all things in life, what would be like a style of music you would most like to make out of all of them?
Honestly, it would depend on the phase that I'm going through.
Wow.
At the moment, I'm not liking drum and bass whatsoever. I'm sort of digging psytrance, bro. I don't know why.
Yeah. Oh, and no doubt you won't mind a bit of house because of the roots of the four on the floor, right?
Yeah, for sure, bro. And like, and being at, like, doing my private this weekend, bro, it was a 40th birthday. So, you know, I was playing all the 1970s, the 1980s jams, bro, and sort of.
Yes.
Yeah, I go through all these different phases, bro, and I get over things real quick.
Wow, yes. So pretty much you never know what it will be when
I feel when I wake up in the
could
morning.
It could be black gospel music, or it could be rock or reggae, you know, it could be anything, right?
It could be choir music. Yeah, black gospel music.
I'm sure. You know, classical music's not out of the question, is it?
Probably not.
Man, that's it, bro. Well, man, I think it's been a great corridor, a great journey that we got to share on those childhood memories leading into, you know, things that we all know help us on the journey with music, where one thing leads to another. And I guess to kind of wrap up, I always kind of get obviously into like words for peeps, but is there any sort of goals or things you like to accomplish in your lifetime, whether it be music or just in the biggest, you know, sort of plan, like any like, would you like to travel overseas or anything really?
For me at the moment, I think it's setting up this new sort of bar that I've got going here in Palmy. So it's just about setting that up. It's going to be it's more of like an event hub, so like a venue.
Nice.
So that's sort of the goal at the moment, just to bring some, you know, some artists and all that kind of stuff to get people through. I mean, Palmy's sort of, the scene here is semi, I wouldn't say dying, but it's definitely on a decline.
It's a need of a solution, and you're willing to try and find that solution.
I've been trying to find it for a long time, bro.
And that's what's led to getting that far, bro, you know, and having a goal in mind.
I haven't got it yet, but it's still definitely underway, and it's getting closer and closer each and every day. In the process, there's been heaps of people, like Messy Confession Page, bro, all that kind of stuff. The Walking Spotify, Gabriel Palmy.
Yeah, what do you say? Money can't solve all problems, clearly. You got a lot of time on your hands to be out here putting those posts up. Clearly something needs to be drilled into you.
I don't know what it was, but that post, like, it didn't fuck me off. It was just retarded.
Oh, man. Yeah, it just kind of had no substance to it. You're kind of like, what on earth does this
anyone can tell who it was directed to, bro.
Exactly. It's anyone who's trying to do something, right?
Yeah, and like, you know, along my journey, bro, there has been people that are like, you know, haters. They don't like to see you do well, bro, and you know, it's just about working through it, I guess.
That's cool, bro. And the fact that you actually speak out with the idea of the need for solutions through bringing to light the fact that you can't knock something where it's a solution, whether it looks like one or not, right? It's kind of like yeah, many roads, many paths can be the path towards, you know, gaining that unity back where people are coming back to town, you know, like those good old days where there was all those old places, you know, what is it, Victory? I mean, you know, all the old places, bro, you know, like,
yeah, I was around them, yep.
I was too young to get into anything, bro, so don't worry. I mean, I'm no more clued up, but like to hear from the old cats, you know, the D-Fresh, the Mikey J,
that's what I feel is a problem too, is that all the new the new DJs, the new people that get into it, don't really want to go back and look back on history, if you know what I mean. They don't want to understand where New Zealand music came from or any music, in fact.
Or just take the time to introduce themselves to the cats that have created something out of thin air back before, you know, we barely had DJ software running, and they were kind of the first cats to be running it, really, right? The first DJ software, and creating the culture, really, right? So it's like having a bit more respect for them. And you know, my ultimate goal with Beat Final is to achieve that, as well as many other things in conjunction that come down to like taking the good and leaving the bad of the history that, you know, has so much to offer for us. In terms of, some things don't change, you know, some things are just tried and tested, and a lot of that comes down to us as and people in New Zealand, you know, citizens of this great land. People that are, I won't get all fancy about it, but yeah, just good old Kiwi folks and sisters out here. But with all that being said, and the plans and all that, is there any kind of last words, things to keep an eye out for, words of, I guess, maybe inspiration or a bit of encouragement. Maybe someone's getting into DJing and they don't know where to start. Maybe just any last words at all, my man. The floor is good.
Just keep on keeping on, bro.
Cheers to that one, bro.
Don't give up whatever you do, bro, pretty much is my main philosophy, is just stick to it. A quick shout out to Showvember. It's happening on the 19th in Manfield, sort of giving funds to I Am Hope, and I'll be jamming there. They just come through. I don't know if this will be out by then.
I think it will be. We scrape right to the bottom of the barrel. So when is that? What's the date now, in case it is after? What will be the date?
It's on the 19th of November.
Nice. And that's, where is it again?
Manfield and Fielding.
Nice.
Yeah. Hosted by the Manawatu Car Club and the Reckless Few Boys and all that kind of stuff. But mostly it's a charity thing, sort of giving funds to I Am Hope and doing track cruises and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I've just had the honor of being asked to play there. So I'll be doing that.
Part of the solution, so solution focus crew. Shout out to all those homies, the Palmy crew, especially everyone behind the scenes on that event too. Whether you hear this podcast out before or after this event, I just wanted to say, bro, it's been an absolute honor having you on this podcast, my bro, and it's been a, I'll say it, bro, it was definitely you know, a vision, a dream for us to be able to get this back on the ground and to have you on it. It's like, couldn't think of a better way to get back into the podcast, my bro. So, I've always appreciated the love, the energy, the positivity, and for everyone tuning there, that was Beat Final episode. We've given up on saying what number episode this is, but I know we're around 80 something. So, 80 something with the brother Spooner here on Beat Final. Thank you all for the love and blessings. We're still going. We haven't stopped. We're just getting started, in fact. And we're here now in Auckland. So we're looking forward to bring more podcasts. If you can help us, support us, have an idea on ways that we can continue this movement, please feel free to get hold of us on the socials and check out our very first merch. We just had a couple shirts printed. So, Stay tuned. But with all that being said, have a blessed one. Peace, love, and blessings.
Well, everyone, that was another Beat Whānau podcast. Super blessed to have you tuned in. We're going to have some amazing podcasts coming up, so stay tuned. Tell a friend if you enjoyed this one. Leave us a great review, and we'll catch you back for some more Be Whānau podcasts. Peace and love, Whānau.